Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to a special online event today called Become a Shamanic Navigator of Light, Exploring Bardo's Cosmic Contracts and Soul Pods. I just love the title, and it's such an exciting moment to be exploring these subjects. And my name is Stephen Dine. I'm the founder and CEO of the Shift Network, and I'm really delighted to be adventuring into these more advanced realms with you, right alongside with you. We're going to be taking this next hour with shamanic teacher and anthropologist Hank Wesselman, who has a remarkable body of work that draws from shamanic trainings around the world and really has both an academic foundation, but also is willing to go into some more advanced terrain, which we're talking about, so becoming a navigator of light. So we've done quite a number of courses with Hank. He's the author of many books that are very respected and very transformational, and really quite a blessing to have you here today. So welcome, Hank.
Hey, thanks, Stephen. Nice to be here with you again.
Great. Well, I want to let everyone know up front that we're going to have this hour with Hank, and it's not the end of the line. In fact, we have a groundbreaking program called Navigators of Light that is launching in just a few weeks. And this is a more advanced training for shamanic exploration of elemental clans, bardos, and spiritual domains. Some of the terrain that you just probably haven't heard about anywhere else. And Hank has created this remarkable program, and we're actually doing that for the second time with a lot of acclaim for the first round. So we'll hear more about that towards the end today. So, Hank, let's begin with this term, a shamanic navigator of light, which is very intriguing. You were started off more as an academic, and then you get called onto this shamanic pathway. And what was your calling into this, becoming a shamanic navigator of light yourself?
Well, you know, it really began for me when I was a child, and it often begins this way for people. I found myself as a child enchanted by nature, especially Central Park in New York and the Central Park Zoo, where I, you know, connected with the animals, and I would have these childlike visionary experiences that continued, you know, up until I was an adolescent. And then, of course, I became focused on my life, and I eventually went to college and became a zoologist, and then I progressed into anthropology. And it was out in the deserts of eastern Africa in southwestern Ethiopia where I was involved with an expedition called the Omo Research Expedition along the Omo River, which drains the Ethiopian highlands and flows into the northern edge of Lake Turkana. I would be out there for 3 months at a time doing survey work, archaeology, geology, paleontology, looking for, you know, the fossil evidence for human evolution. This is what I do as a scientist, and I'm still doing it today. It began in 1971 when I was a grad student at Berkeley. And it was out there in those desert wastes, in those whispering lands, that I began to have visions, strikingly like those of indigenous shamans. And at that point, you know, I worshipped solely at the altar of science. I wasn't really ready. I was in my early 30s at that point. But, you know, those episodes haunted me, and I've published many of them in my unusual books. So, you know, when I was finishing up my doctoral work at Berkeley, a friend of my wife's called and announced that there was an anthropologist coming to town who was going to offer a workshop in shamanic practice. Well, I had a sense of what shamans were. When most of us think about the shaman, we think about a masked and costumed tribal person dancing around a fire in the dark, accompanied by drum beats, involved in some sort of mysterious ritual. And that's not a bad description. But, you know, inside that cultural shell of costume and ritual is an individual who has a very real skill. All shamans are masters of the trance experience. They're able to achieve expanded states of awareness in which they are able to see into the levels of things hidden. Now, having said that, let me just observe that I've lived a lot of my life with traditional people, starting with the Peace Corps for 2 years in Nigeria with the Yoruba people. And I know that Indigenous people see the world as made up of two halves, the world of things seen and the world of things hidden. And they make no distinction between them. They understand that they present themselves mixed into one common reality. Well, the shaman is the one who, in altered states of consciousness, can see into the realm of things hidden. And the first thing they learn is that these realms are inhabited. They're inhabited by transpersonal forces that they call spirits. And unknowingly and unwittingly, I was drawn into these experiences while I was practicing science out in the wilderness in East Africa. And this is really how it began for me.
Fantastic. Well, it's an amazing journey that you've been on. So let's talk about some of these this more advanced terrain. So you're entering into a world that's populated by spirits, that there's visionary states and trance state that you can open to higher levels. So how do you I'd love for you to share a little bit more about how to consciously enter into these more bardo realms and start to do some more advanced work up there.
Well, here we go. You know, there are three great gateways into transcendence: meditation, tantra, and trauma. Those who have read my Spirit Walker trilogy, for example, are aware of the fact that I was drawn into these deep trance experiences in which I connected with the mind and soul and body of another man who lives in the future, immediately after having a joyous marital encounter with my Lady Jill. Meditation, shamanic journey work, is the ancient ancestral form of meditation in which the shaman in trance focuses their awareness on where and what, where they want to go and what they want to experience. And in response to a physical stimulus like the drum or the rattle or the dance or the song or the hallucinogen, if one was used, they're able to read geography, if I could put it that way, they're able to read geography, their conscious awareness, into the world of things hidden. And when they encounter these transpersonal forces called spirits, they learn that some of them are willing to come into relationship with human beings to help them in various ways. In the shamanic tradition, we call these helping spirits. And it's interesting that many of them are nature spirits, the spirits of animals, the spirits of plants, the spirits of elementals. And through relationship, shamans are able to do various things, initially on behalf of themselves, and then increasingly on behalf of others. And I'm talking about their communities and their families and their friends. The shaman is the one who uses their mind and their body to create a bridge between the personal world of form and the transpersonal world of the spirits. And when that bridge is formed, it allows the energies of the spirit world to flow across that bridge and into our world to accomplish various things, like healing, for example. In virtually all of my workshops that I do at centers like Esalen and Omega and Breidenbusch, you know, we always do healing work, usually on Thursday night, because these are five-day events. And in this healing work, I've trained people in order to access this altered state of consciousness, which some call the shamanic state of consciousness. And we perform healing rituals for somebody in the group who has a serious life-threatening illness, something like cancer or Crohn's disease or multiple sclerosis. And you know, Stephen, I've watched for the last 35 years as people with very serious afflictions, these afflictions just seem to go away. And
wow,
this is really quite miraculous. I remember Michael Harner. I talked to Michael about this many years ago. He passed just 2 days ago. He was one of the great instigators of of shamanism in the Western world in our time. He is a wonderful visionary and mystic, and he was my friend for almost 40 years. I remember talking to him years ago, and I asked him, Michael, what is it that makes somebody an authentic shaman? And he got right to the point. He said there are three things. First of all, do they journey to other worlds? Secondly, do they have relationships with spirits? And thirdly, do they perform miracles? And I have watched for the last 35 years as serious miracles happens in our workshops. You know, you and I know that in order to become a saint in the Catholic Church, there have to be two bona fide miracles associated with you. And, you know, I've seen literally hundreds, which means, you know, and you have as well, that I'm a saint and you're a saint. You know, we're all saints. And, you know, that's something that Santa Teresa, she's now a saint, I believe, Mother Teresa, I remember her being asked by a reporter, do you consider yourself a saint? And she looked at him with some intensity and she said, yes. And then she poked him in the chest and said, and so are you.
That's a great perspective. So we want to, I mean, it's kind of right in the title of today, Becoming a Navigator.
As we begin to investigate these numinous realms of the spirits and discover all sorts of wonderful things.
Well, I think that makes such a great point that, you know, when we say become a shamanic navigator of light, we're actually just rediscovering this part of ourselves. It's not just, you know, it's latent within each of us to have this higher dimensional being, and that we're just a matter of reconnecting with it.
Well, if I've got this right, Stephen, and I believe I do, you know, it's one of our birthrights. I believe that there's a program on our inner hard drive. I'm talking about our DNA. And when that program is double-clicked with the right mouse, the drum, the rattle, the song, the dance, the hallucinogen, if one was used, when it's double-clicked with the right mouse, it allows us to achieve expanded states of awareness that can be quite transforming. And over the years that I've been doing this, you know, a long time now, I've discovered that I can give Western people, non-tribal people like ourselves, a bit of narrative, a bit of teaching, and then provide them with a set of coordinates for what we're looking for, and then open up a journey experience. I use the drum, and we'll be doing that with the Navigators of Light. There'll be about, I don't know, maybe 25, 30 minutes of narrative, and then maybe 25 minutes of drum journey experience. And, you know, Western people come back with these accounts which would pass muster at any Aboriginal campfire. This is really quite extraordinary. You know, you don't have to be a Navajo or a Zulu or a Tibetan to practice shamanism. I think that we all have the capacity to some degree, although it's expressed variably in the population, but some of us are really good at it. You know, last year in the Navigators class, we had some extraordinary testimonials come in during the Q&A sessions. I was really quite blown away. I think everybody else was too.
Beautiful. Well, let's talk about some of these specific areas that we've described for today. Cosmic contracts. This is an interesting concept that we can actually journey to have a better understanding and grasp of the actual contracts that we've set up as part of our incarnational journey. I'd love for you to share more about that.
Yes, I can, because there are not many shamanic teachers, if any, who go in this direction. One of the things that we do when we make the shift from nature mysticism into deity mysticism in the Navigators program is we connect with our higher self, which Ralph Waldo Emerson called the Oversoul. And through the Oversoul, we connect with the Oversoul's teacher, who is the spirit guide, the real spirit guide with a capital G. And through the spirit guide and the Oversoul, we explore the dimensional levels of the upper worlds. And one of the things that we will explore in the Navigators program is the awareness that each one of us has a council of elder spirits. A council of elders. These are high members of the group that I think of as the higher organizing intelligences who reside in the upper worlds of spirit. And they're the ones who hold our contract, because they debrief us when we come out of life, and then they brief us before we come back into life. And we literally are responsible for choosing the life that we're going to live in order to fulfill the contract. And what's on the contract? The contract includes the life lessons on which we're currently working. And there's usually a complex of life lessons. And because this is not a punitive system, if we didn't get the lessons in the last lifetime, if there's one thing we've got more of than anything else, it's time. And so these are benevolent beings who want the best for us. And we're going to explore in the Navigators program our relationship with this Council of Elders. And if we're lucky, we might have a look at our contract. You know, sometimes people ask me if you can renegotiate your contract. I said, well, that's for you to find out.
What, you also have this notion of soul pods that I find very intriguing. So how does the sense of the these Council of Elders and the soul contracts, cosmic contracts, connect with soul pods?
Well, I've just mentioned that each one of us has a higher self, an oversoul. And that oversoul, that higher self, lives always in the upper worlds of dream. The oversoul is the one who dreams. It's our home base, so to speak. And before we come into life, the oversoul divides itself and it sends in a seed of its light, a bowl of its light, that takes up residence in a new embodiment for a new lifetime. And that light resides within us, nourishing us and sustaining us and growing and becoming more as we grow and becoming more in each life. Now, that oversoul is actually a member of a family, a spiritual family. I think of the family as a pod, like a pod of whales, and people have different members in their pod. The pod is a cluster of higher selves, of oversouls, that have frequent and ongoing contact with each other, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And the overarching work ethic seems to be one of being in support of each other, of helping each other grow, increase, and becoming more. And in investigating our relationship with our soul pod, which we're going to do in the Navigators program, many of us discover that members of our family are members of our soul pod. And then some of us discover that members of our family are not members of our soul pod, but we have these wonderful heart connections with friends, with heart sisters and heart brothers, you know, people who are part of our emotional and intellectual family, I guess you could say, as we pass through life. And we contribute to each other in various ways. And so we're going to investigate in the Navigators program our connection with our own soul pod. And we'll go there using the shamanic journey work method after we have made transition into the upper world. Now, since you've mentioned the word bardo, this is an important term. When we drop the body and we'll take people through the experience, through the death experience, in the shamanic work we're going to do in the Navigators program, we're going to take people into the bardo world. The bardo world is an in-between state. Bardo is actually a Tibetan term that means in-between. The bardo world is in the middle world of dream, the same world that we go into when we dream at night. That's where we go when we drop the physical body. And the middle world is the dreaming of this world right here. So in a sense, when we die, we don't go anywhere. We stay right here, but we're no longer embodied. And we have various experiences. The guide, the spirit guide, is the one who debriefs us and draws us into various levels of experience in the bardo. And we're going to explore this through journey work in the Navigators program. But eventually the time comes when we're done with the bardo and we ascend in the company of our guide back into the upper world, who takes us back to our soul family, where we rejoin our connection with our higher self, with our oversoul. And in that sense, you know, each one of our lives, including all of our former lives, is archived into this source that sources us into life and receives us back at life's end. And everything we've ever learned and done and known is archived into this field, which means that your Stephenness and my Hankness, in a sense, are immortals, because we will exist forever in spirit as part of this wonderful collective, which is and will always be our higher self, our oversoul.
A beautiful description. And so you're saying that we journey back to this gathering of oversouls in our home base, like in the afterlife. So can you do this as well, a shamanic journey?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And a lot of teachers don't take their students there because, you know, without sounding overly accomplished, let me say that a lot of teachers in the shamanic tradition like to stick with nature mysticism. In my advanced classes, and this is going to be an advanced class, I sometimes encounter students who've worked with me before who really like to hang out with their bear. They like to hang out with the nature spirits. And we begin there. We actually begin there with the Navigators program, because nature mysticism is the foundation upon which the shaman stands. And once you've got your support system set up in and among the nature spirits, you've got a foundation. And that foundation will support you in making deeper forays, deeper safaris into the realm of things hidden. And that's what we're going to do in the Navigators program. It's really an honor to be able to offer this for you. You know, I had so much fun doing it last year. And people, they really gave me some fabulous testimonials. So I think we're doing something right, Stephen.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the methodology. So how do you navigate some of this terrain once you're, you know, because a lot of times, like in a dream state, you're kind of, things just seem to happen to us. We're not as clearly navigating. So when we talk about navigator of light, it really implies that we're able to steer, if you will, through these different realms and know where we're going and where we should go. So I'd love to share a little bit about that navigation element.
Well, the navigation element is a method. We're talking about shamanic journey work. Shamanic journey work is a form of meditation. It's a learned skill that improves with practice. And when beginners come in, they sometimes have a little trouble with it at the beginning. But once they get what it is that we're trying to do, once they're in connection with their helping spirits, the whole experience becomes infinitely easier. And so once we journey with our helping spirits, what I do is I provide people with a certain amount of narrative, give them a sense of what we're looking for. And then, using the drum, played in a theta brainwave pattern of roughly 4 to 5 beats per second, I guide people into these numinous regions of the spirit world where they have various experiences. Now, this isn't done like a guided visualization. I don't tell people what to see, but I encourage them to go in certain directions and be open to the possibilities in the company of one of their helping spirits. And under these circumstances, various levels of experience, awareness, and consciousness become available to us. Now, you can do this using hallucinogens. But one of the things that we discover in the Western world, where a new kind of shamanism is coming into being, is that the drum and the rattle is a very powerful mouse that opens that inner doorway which exists within us. In the current program I'm offering for you, we talked about the three levels of soul and how the body soul is the perceiver. It's the perceiver of things seen and the perceiver of things unseen. Things seen involve the world of action, the physical world in which we live every day. the world of things unseen. This is the world in which we think and feel and emote and dream and vision. And that world is accessible to us with a minimal amount of training. And so once we get the journey work method down, and this usually happens within one or two sessions, we go for it. And one of the things we're going to do, I might add, is we're going to talk about the elemental spirits, about the elemental clans. When I was living in Africa, in the Peace Corps, in West Africa, that is, one of the things I discovered is that in the typical African village, people believe that each one of us has a relationship with a given elemental. It's almost like being born under an astrological sign. There are the fire clan people, the water clan people, the earth clan, the stone clan, the nature clan, and then there are the air clan people. And people who have a certain relationship with a particular elemental tend to have a particular shape to their personality. And this is something we're going to explore in the Navigator program as well. And we'll take each one of these clans, each one of these elementals, and investigate them. And people usually discover which clan they belong to. And it explains a lot to them about who they are and what their priorities are and what they're doing here in this life.
Sure, share a little bit more about that. So what clan are you part of, and how has that helped illuminate your path?
And how to eliminate?
How does that illuminate your path?
Well, you know, this is something I like to investigate through journey work, and I give people certain directions on how to connect with particular elemental spirits. For example, we use the sacred garden icon. This is a place in the dream world which becomes your personal place of power and healing. And really, the first exercise is always to find that personal place of power and healing. So, for example, I might guide people to go to their sacred garden, envision, and invite spirit of fire to come to them in their garden, and then enter into relationship with it, and allow the spirit of fire to convey to them what qualities and abilities it carries. The same thing would be true of the spirit of water. How would water appear to you in your garden? How would earth or stone appear to you in your garden? And then coming into relationship with a sacred stone in your garden, allowing yourself to be drawn into connection with the spirit of stone, and allow stone to enlighten you as to what qualities and abilities it conveys. And they're quite different. You know, the spirit of fire, the spirit of water, spirit of fire tends to be a real activist, a real passionate complex of emotions and actions in life. You know, Steve Jobs, for example, he's a classic fire person. And look how he changed our world. You know, the water clan people, they tend to be healers. Water is really about peace and reconciliation, and so forth and so on. So water and fire, on the one hand, are polar opposites. But one of the things we'll discuss is how relationship with these elemental spirits can enhance your practice as a shamanic healer. You know, for example, if you're dealing with somebody who needs more energy, somebody with chronic fatigue, for example, would you use water to draw energy away from that person? No, they need more fire. So you'd work with a fire elemental to help build up their energetic matrix, their energetic base. Then if you were dealing with somebody who had too much fire, you know, dealing with chronic pain like fibromyalgia, for example, it might make more sense to work with the water elemental to draw energy away, to give that person relief from a complex which is plaguing them on an ongoing basis. You know, this is part of what the shamanic tradition is all about. It's about being of service, especially as a shamanic healer. And this is something we will explore.
Hmm. Well, let's share a little bit more about the just some of the methodology that you use. So there's drumming and there's journeying internally, and other practices that you find particularly helpful to access these higher realms for insight and guidance.
Well, journey work is a form of meditation. And one of the things that I do, one of the things that I've discovered, and many have discovered this, is that if a drum is played at a particular frequency, like 4 to 5 beats per second, the higher brain, the cerebrum, tends to synchronize both halves, all right? And it tends to start to fire nerve impulses to follow that frequency. And it's in this brainwave state that Roshis and Rinpoches and transcendental meditators and psychic healers and shamans, they tend to go into a very particular brainwave state when they're doing their work in the world. This is a big discovery, I think. You know, and when we're dreaming at night, when we're asleep, the brain tends to fire nerve impulses at about 1 to 3 per second. That's called the delta wave state. And then when we wake up in the morning, we move into the alpha state, which is a kind of meditative state as well, you know, of 8 to 3 per second. And then when you're working in the world, and for example, I'm talking to you right now from Hawaii Island, I'm in the beta brainwave state where my brainwaves are between 13 and 20, 25 per second. But, you know, this is a method which can be learned. And when you program the human brain to listen to this particular stimulus, this physical stimulus, the drum or the rattle, you can go into these visionary states extraordinarily easily. And during these states, various levels of experience, awareness, and consciousness become available to us. This is what we're going to be experimenting with.
I'd love for you to share a specific example or two of when you have had a particularly challenging circumstance in the outer world and journeyed to some of these light realms and gotten very clear guidance about how to better navigate.
Yes, a challenging experience. There are times, for example, in doing healing work in workshops, hands-on workshops at places like Esalen, that I find myself up against a real bad guy. What that means is that I'm seeking to be of service to somebody. And I find that there is, for example, a possessing entity. It could be the spirit of a dead person, a spirit attachment, who has attached themselves to this individual and who's encouraging that individual to act out in particular ways so that the entity can sort of get off on the energy of the experience. Alcoholism, drug addictions, tobacco addictions, shopping addictions, eating addictions, these all can be traced, I think, to large part in possessing entities. So, as a shamanic practitioner, what I do is I turn towards the spirits who are helping me. This is very important. I turn towards the helping spirits who are assisting me, and I just delegate authority to them and let them flex the spiritual muscle. And usually, not always, but usually, when a possessing entity sees that the shaman has arrived with a group of friends, it's kind of like John Wayne walking into a bar with a group of cowboys. you know, often the possessing entity will just clear out, will just leave in response. And I've seen people's lives change very dramatically in response. This is part of what I mean by the shaman, the shamanist or shamanic practitioner being of service as a shamanic healer. One of the things we're going to do in this workshop is we'll talk about that to some extent, but we're really going to use the Navigators of Light program as a way of exploring these other worlds, the lower worlds, the dreaming of nature, the middle worlds, the dreaming of humans, and the afterlife state that we go into, and then the upper worlds, the interlife state, where various levels of experience are available to us between lives for our soul's education, I guess you could say.
So do you, you actually will journey to the place between lives and get information there?
The place between lives and the Bardo worlds?
You'll actually journey to get access from your time between lives?
Yes, we're going to do that. And, you know, people are going to emerge from the Navigator's class with an extraordinarily expanded vision of who they are, what they're doing here, what this whole thing is all about, and who they are as a soul traveling across time. Because all of us are time travelers, and as we travel, as we do go on our long walkabout across eternity, and eternity is a long time, you know, we grow, we increase and become more. And eventually we ascend to become godlike beings ourselves. This is not a small thing.
Not a small thing at all. Well, there's so much terrain that we could explore. I'd love for you to share. So you mentioned something about the different levels of worlds, the lower world, the middle world, and the upper world. And so what are the specific things you might want to journey to the upper world for versus the other two?
Well, for example, once we reconnect with our soul pod, we'll hook up with our guide who will take us to visit our Council of Elder Spirits. And the council, they won't be expecting us because they're not expecting us until we've terminated this life, until we've come to the end of this life. But we can access them and tell them what we're doing and ask them for guidance and information. They're the ones who want the best for us. And so their job is to infuse us with courage and heart. We may take a journey to the interface between the subtle realms and the causal realm. You know, I don't know of any other shamanist teachers who actually do this. The subtle realms are the spirit world, and the causal realms are the dimension above the spirit worlds. Causal implies universal impulses which are being beamed down from another source, which are being dreamed by our oversouls, and then through our oversouls dreaming into ourselves, we become connected with those causal impulses. And when we're following our oversouls dreams, we discover we're on the path of our destiny. But a lot of us are concerned with, you know, ordinary reality things like BMWs and Starbucks and our jobs and our careers and so forth and so on. That's ordinary reality stuff. And that may or may not be part of our oversoul's program. We may go to the place where souls are born, where souls are created. That's at the interface of the causal and the subtle. We may go to the place where the highest work of the universe is done and explore what that dimensional level is like and what kind of processes are coming into being and how those processes are manifested into laws which really govern the structure of the universal matrix. This is, you know, really applied mysticism. And I think of it as deity mysticism. And again, this is upper world stuff. And not many shamanic teachers, you know, spend a lot of time there with their workshop groups. But I do.
It's fascinating. Well, it's clear that you've covered some amazing terrain. One of the areas that I think a lot of people are very interested in these days is clearing karma. So how can you use some of this more advanced shamanic practices to clear karma from other lifetimes?
That's a good one. You know, the karmic burden. First of all, let me observe that there are no lords of karma. You know, there is no one who is going to judge us and punish us in the afterlife. That's a myth. And I think it's a myth that was derived from our organized religions to punish people. We'll talk about that a little bit when we talk about the evolution of religion and the Navigator's class. But the karmic burden, what this means is that we have life lessons that we're working on. See, the human body is an animal body, and it has raw, powerful emotions like anger and hate and jealousy. And, you know, it's a real challenge for a spirit to embody in a human being and live a human experience. But, you know, our life here on planet Earth, it's kind of like photography. You know, an old cliche says, life is like photography. You develop from the negative.
I like that. That's a great cliche. Negative, I like it.
Yeah, our negative experiences are often our most powerful teachers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that we learn in the Navigator's class, especially when we come in contact with our Council of Elders, is that they're not going to judge us. They have infinite compassion for us and our faults, and they know that we're all working on those faults. They're all working to rectify the bad stuff that we've done in previous lives. And they support us in doing that. So in future lives, we're usually given infinite numbers of chances to reverse the course, which may have been begun in a former life in a very negative way. You know, there's also a place in the Bardo world that we're going to investigate, and I don't want to give too much away ahead of time, but it's known that when individuals have died a particularly violent death or heinous death, you can imagine the people who went through the Holocaust in Germany, or the people who were blown up in the World Trade Center, you know, often these people were not prepared. They were not prepared for their death experience, and they may have been severely damaged during life and depart this life with a great deal of distortion in their energetic matrix. There is a place in the Bardo world where souls are often taken, which we're going to investigate. I think of it as the Healing and Regeneration Center, where souls are taken and their energetic matrix is restored and refreshed. And without telling more about that right now, what I like to do is guide people in that direction and then ask them to gather data. It's kind of like a graduate seminar in which the professor puts people to work, you know, steers them in a certain direction, lets them go, and then, you know, everybody chips on what they've discovered. And I, of course, chip in on what I've discovered as well, but not at the beginning. And we investigate this Healing and Regeneration Center. I think it's very, very reassuring to folks to know that there is a place like that, especially somebody who's dying a lingering death from something really life-threatening, like cancer, for example. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good thing, don't you think?
Absolutely. Well, Hank, there's so much that you're sharing here that's really intriguing and opens our paradigm of the possible. And so I want to spend some time now talking more directly about your upcoming program. And first of all, I'll just say how grateful we are to work with you on this. It's actually a seven-month journey with Hank that really explores some of the most advanced shamanic terrain available in a distance learning format. So it's you can find the course called Navigators of Light: Advanced Shamanic Explorations of Elemental Clans, Bardos, and Spiritual Domains. You can find the details at navigatorsoflight.com. Again, that's navigatorsoflight.com. And this is a deep dive into really cool, advanced, amazing terrain that can really have profound impacts on the way you walk in the world, your ability to access higher levels of information, to get guidance, to understand your soul contracts, to see who your soul pod is, to really get a much more multidimensional understanding of yourself and your community and ultimately our universe. So, Hank, it's quite a program that you've pulled together here, and we got remarkable feedback from people who went through the first cohort of it last year. So I'd love for you to share in your own words what it is that people develop and learn and grow over the course of the 7 months with you, and then we can go through the modules.
The modules. You want to go through the modules?
But first, maybe just like on a high level, what's your deeper intent on the program? What do people emerge with?
Well, you know, this to me is a response to the distortions that exist in our world today. Somewhere along the line, I think we've really lost contact with what spirituality is all about. A lot of our mainstream religions become endless dogma, in which, you know, nobody really learns anything new, you know. In this series of programs, we're going to talk about the modern shaman, what it means to be a modern mystic in our society. This is one of the ways in which we're going to resolve the distortions, because one of the things I've discovered is that more than half the people who take my programs have children. And if these modern mystical awarenesses and understandings are transmitted to their children, they're going to spread very rapidly, horizontally, into society at large. And I think we have an extraordinary chance to really turn this around. You know, I saw that James O'D., you know James O'D., he had a wonderful statement on the internet recently about some sort of talk or program, the year of the bully, the century of the visionary. This is the century of the visionary. And so we're going to be talking about the modern shaman. We'll talk about nature mysticism and deity mysticism. We'll talk about the different levels of awareness that are accessible to us. You know, most of us do this a lot of the time, but, you know, a lot of us are unaware of the fact that we're actually accessing different levels of reality. We'll talk about that. You know, in talking about the evolution of religion, this is something I used to do in my magic, witchcraft, and religion class, which I taught at the university and college level. And we'll talk about the different levels of religion as religion emerged from the ancestral past. And the ancestral form of religion was the shamanist tradition, was the shamanic tradition. We're going to talk about, as I said, working with the various nature clans, and people will discover that they are allied with a particular element, and because they are, there are certain levels of experience that are available to them. There are certain gifts that these elements convey to those who are members of their clans. As I said, we're going to talk about the reincarnational cycle, the death experience, and the transition into the middle world of dream. Knowing where you're going, I think, is very important. And in traditional societies, a shaman was always the one who investigated that region that we go into at the death of the physical body and then returned with that information to prepare people who are dying, who are making transition, for the experiences that they're going to have, the places that they're going to go, which is deeply reassuring to the dying. Blah, blah, blah. You know, we're going to talk about the presence, for example, when we talk about deity mysticism, the interlife state and the realms of light. We're going to talk about where we go, home base, so to speak. This isn't really explained at all in our organized monotheist traditions. We talk about heaven. We talk about paradise. But what are these heavens? What are these paradises? And I'll just throw in here right now that a lot of the monotheist traditions have created default heavens, default paradises, where only some get to go to, and then others don't, you know? And this is one of the things we're going to explore. We're going to open this up for consideration. So the entire class, I think, will give people a highly expanded understanding of who they are, what they're doing here, what this whole thing is all about, where they fit into it. You know, we'll talk about this when we talk about animism and animatism and, you know, how this whole thing got started. And it's interesting to me, you know, everyone everywhere is involved in some kind of religious complex. So it's obvious that religion is very important to people. And we're going to explore why that's so as well. And understanding, you know, it creates wisdom. And wisdom creates the ability to live our life in a more expanded, more fulfilled way, which I think is not a small thing.
Not a small thing indeed. Well, it's quite a program that you've assembled here. I mean, you're going to be covering all of the elemental work, the Earth Clan, Stone Clan, Nature Clan, all of that, the Water Clan, all of that is very, very interesting and illuminating right there. Then you're going into these more advanced deity mysticism and oversoul and reincarnation and interlife. I mean, some of the terrain that has just very rarely been talked about, much less explored, and really laying a solid foundation for not only understanding how all of these realms work together, but like how we can navigate it and draw really relevant and important information, energies, healings, and insights into our daily life. So it's quite a program. So again, all of those who are online right now, you can find it at navigatorsoflight.com. Again, that's navigatorsoflight.com. And so during the 7 months, there's 25 90-minute class sessions with Hank, which includes live interactive calls and Q&A time. There's also 30 minutes at the end of each of session for small group practices and inquiry. Also things, many practices and exercises you can do at home to keep cultivating your skills to the next level. There's a Facebook learning community as well as recordings and PDF transcripts of every class session. So a lot of value, and if that's not enough, just with the 25 sessions, there's some extra bonuses that are remarkable too. First of all, we have a one-hour video teaching from Hank on reflections on a Hawaiian kahuna elder. Some of Hank's most interesting teachings also have been sourced from the Hawaiian kahuna lineages, and even the notion of a bowl of light that he was mentioning earlier, it really comes from that tradition. So that's a whole one-hour video class. There's also a two-hour video teaching from Hank and his beloved, who's also his teaching partner, Jill Kuykendall. It's called Spirit Medicine, Secrets of Shamanic Healing. You want to share anything about that two-hour video teaching, Hank?
Yep, it's a good one. You know, we tried to squeeze it in. We talked a little bit about it this last week in the re-enchantment session, series of seven sessions. But there was so much to talk about, so much to squeeze in. So this gives us, you know, more of a chance to expand this knowledge into the community with this two-hour CD.
Great. We also have another bonus from Hank on, it's an audio teaching called The Shamanic Journey Method, really outlining that more explicitly. There's also a recordings from Hank called Percussion Tracks for Shamanic Journeying. So a lot of extra value in just the bonuses alone, plus the 25 core modules and the power of the community that gets created. And now I should mention that we actually have a special launch discount as well. So you get $100 off when you sign up today and actually through February 13th. So to your best advantage to go to the page at navigatorsoflight.com. Again, that's navigatorsoflight.com. And give it a read-through. And I particularly encourage you to check out the testimonials, because there's some amazing testimonials from people who have graduated before and say their lives will never be the same, truly life-changing. And I think there's many people who can attest to that. So this is powerful work. It's advanced work. There is not a prerequisite for this program, but it definitely is going to be particularly valuable for people with a good foundation of experience and practice already. So we've kept the investment really accessible for a long program like that. It's just you can do seven monthly payments of $189 for the seven-month journey, or you can save about 10% when you pay in full at $1,197. So you get a lot of time with Hank, really intimate community. Starts, I should mention, on March 1st, and it's going to be on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific time. That's 8 Eastern. So Thursdays at 5 Pacific time. Even if you can't make the live class, you can still get the full value by participating with the downloads and the transcripts and the community. So we encourage you to make as many live as you can, but if you've got some conflicts, it's not a worry either. So amazing program, one of our most popular advanced shamanic trainings. So you can find all the details at navigatorsoflight.com for the Navigators of Light, Advanced Shamanic Explorations of Elemental Clans, Bardos, and Spiritual Domains. Well, Hank, it's been a really eye-opening journey with you here today. Always some fascinating insights. Anything that's still on your heart that you want to share with folks who are considering joining you for the seven-month Navigators of Light journey?
Well, first of all, let me thank you, Stephen, for your support. you know, the Shift Network has created an extraordinary trail crossing for members of the transformational community, in which all of us are acquiring tools and new skills and new awarenesses, which are extraordinarily important, I think, in our time. Also, I would sort of encourage folks to consider the words of my great friend, the Kahuna mystic Halemakua. He said, when you become a spiritual warrior, and we are all spiritual warriors, all right? He said, we walk a path which is constrained by three sacred directives. Number one, we must love all that we see with humility. And when he told me that, I thought to myself, wow, easy one first. And he laughed because he was psychic, you know. And he said, oh, listen, I worked on that one for 7 years. Love all that you see with humility. Number two, we must live all that we feel with reverence. And that reverence is not a social convention. It means respect. You meet everyone and everything in your life with a sense of respect, not a sense of judgment. And finally, number three, we are to know all that we possess with discipline. And that includes what possesses us. Self-discipline is absolutely essential when you walk the spiritual path. And that's where so many of our gurus have stumbled. And we all stumble there. I mean, you know, everyone. So, you know, love all that you see with humility, live all that you feel with reverence, and know all that you possess with discipline. This is our path. Not bad, huh?
Beautiful, beautiful synthesis of the path that we need to all walk. So thank you, Hank, for an illuminating hour, and thank you for offering the Navigators of Light program, which really brings so much illumination and wisdom and really lasting transformational value to people. So I know people are in for a real treat and a blessing and a healing when they join you for that. Again, you can find all the details at navigatorsoflight.com, and you get the special $100 discount off when you sign up right away. So thank you, Hank, and thank you all for joining, and have a beautiful day. Let's go forth and spread a little more light and become ever more powerful beacons on the planet.
From the Big Island, aloha and out.
Aloha and out. Thank you, Hank. Thank you all, and look forward to seeing many of you in the upcoming Navigators of Light program. Goodbye now.
Okay.